Right, good afternoon, everybody. So last time we started Simin Sadi Aleph, and we pointed out that if you break down Simin Sadi Aleph, it's really three separate sections. You have Si'ifim Aleph through Gimel, which is about when cold and cold come in contact with each other. Then Si'if Dalet, which is going to be the bulk of what we're going to do today, and that is, it's really a Simin B'fnei Atzmo, you know, Si'if Dalet, and that's the Sugya of Ilah Gavar, Tasah Gavar. It's somewhat of a complicated Sugya. It's a Geshmaka Sugya. And then, after that, we go on to Kavul Shemalicha and things like that, transference of Tam through means other than heat. But there are means of the transference of Tam. As opposed to Aleph through Gimel, there's no actual transference of Tam. It's just, you know, cold and cold, and the requirements of Hadacha. So just the one thing we didn't finish up between Si'if and Aleph and Gimel is Si'if Gimel. There's not much to say on Si'if Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes, Tzarech Lizar Shel Yiga Basar Belechem. We have to be careful that meat should not touch bread. She'im yigabo asa lachlom gvina. Because if you allow the meat to touch the bread, you're not going to be allowed to eat that meat together with cheese. You're not going to be able to spread cream cheese on your bagel if your bagel touched meat. V'chein yizar shel yigabo gvina. She'im yigabo asa lachlom chala in basar. And also, you want to make sure that whatever bread you want to have for your pastrami sandwich does not touch any cheese. Meaning, obviously, you're allowed to spread cream cheese on your bagel and then eat it, but not to have it touch and then to leave it around for some later time. So this is based on Yerushalmi in the sixth parak of Maseches Pesachim, where the Yerushalmi says that you're supposed to remove the crumbs from a fleshik table before you eat any milchik. So the Shach and Sivkat and Dalet adds that this assumes that the meat and the cheese is lach, and the concern is that you'll forget to do hadacha, right? That if it was yavish, you wouldn't need to do hadacha. So the concern is that there's going to be a requirement of hadacha. You're not going to remember to do the hadacha, or you're not going to want to get your bread soggy or whatever. And the Prima Gadon just asks on the Shach that the mashmos of the Torah Shulchan Aruch is that hadacha doesn't work on bread. Meaning, it's not just saying that you might forget to do hadacha. It's saying that there's not going to be a hadacha, that this is worse than a regular situation where you can do hadacha. Probably, Prima Gadon says, because bread is so absorbent that hadacha is not going to work. It's like a sponge, so it's going to absorb whatever it touches. Prima Gadon in Siv Sei Das is bothered by this entire halacha, because the halacha really expresses a double concern, right? Shema yochal alechem imagvina, and the yishkach la'adiach, right? That's what was bothering Prima Gadon, that you might eat it with cheese, and you're going to forget to do what you're supposed to do with it first. Where do we find a source for such a double chashash? Yerushalmi certainly doesn't go that far. The Yerushalmi only says that the crumbs that are already fleishig need to be removed from the milchik table. If you assume against the Shach that hadacha won't work on bread, then maybe the Yerushalmi is a better source in conjunction with the Yisra of having milchik bread, right, on account of the concern that you'll eat it with meat. Because now the Shulchan Aruch is just telling us not to make the bread irreversibly milchig or irreversibly fleishig, just like in Simin Sadi Zayin. Meaning, if you assume that hadacha is not possible, so it takes away one level of concern, right? It takes away one extra level of gzeirah, because it's an automatic, that once it becomes fleishig, it's finished. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no fixing it, and therefore it's going to be asur. It's a difficult halacha in the sense that it really seems to be a far-fetched concern. What exactly does that mean? They have to be careful that meat never touches bread, but you don't really have to be careful that meat never touches bread. Like we said before, you're allowed to make a pastrami sandwich. He's not saying that you're not allowed to eat meat with bread. He's saying that you're not allowed to store your meat with bread, that you're not allowed to put away meat with bread or have meat that's going to be touching bread, and then the bread is not going to be consumed and it's going to be left over for later. So it's a totally unusual halacha, and that's what the Prima Gadim sort of is done on over here. Okay, now we move on to the sugya of Tasah Gavar. So this sugya is a fascinating sugya, like we said. It's really its own simin kimat. There's the easy part is the first part of the Mechaber, and then once you get to the Ramah and what the Mechaber says right after the Ramah, then it gets a little more challenging. We're going to have to see different interpretations of what the halacha is going to be, but let's start with the very basics. The very basics is that there is a sugya in Maseches Pesachim, Davayin Heyam Veizayin Vavim Nal, for the Gemara tells us, Itmar, Cham l'tocham divrei kol aser. Okay, that's Pasha. Two hot things touching each other, so heat allows for transference of Tam, through and through, everything's going to be aser. Sonin l'tzoch tzonin, divrei kol mutter. Ayein, si'ifim aleph through gimel. You have tzonin and tzonin, everything's going to be mutter. Okay, maybe hadach, but everything's going to be mutter. Cham l'tzoch tzonin, v'tzonin l'tzoch cham, but what if something hot falls into something cold, or something cold falls into something hot? Now you have a machlokas. Rav Amar Ila Agavar, whatever is on top is the dominant force, and therefore, if the top thing is hot, that will cause a transference of tam between the two items, but if the top thing is cold, there's no tam that transfers. Ushmuel Amar Tasa Agavar, no, it's the bottom thing that makes all the difference. So if hot milk and hot meat mix, they're both asir. But the machlokas in the Gemara, cold meat falls onto hot milk, or cold kosher meat falls onto hot chazer, or something like that. So do you say that the heat of the bottom food is hot enough to heat up the food that fell on it, and now the blios are going to fuse, and it's going to asir both of them? Or do we assume that no, falling cold food will chill the bottom hot food? And how do we paskin? So it's unusual, because Rav and Shmuel, normally you say Hilsa Karav Bisure, but over here we paskin like Shmuel, that Tasa Agavar. The bottom hot food has the strength to heat up the food that's on top of it. As long as the bottom food is hot, it causes the flavors to fuse, and thus they're both going to be usher. Now, in the flip case, you know, when the bottom food is cold, top food is hot, we also say Tasa Agavar, and the cold food cools down the food that's on top of it, and therefore, blios do not transfer. Rashi explains, wait a second, why on earth are we passing like Shmuel? We always paskin like Rav. V'afal gav dilchsa k'rav b'isure, b'ha hilchsa k'shmuel, t'atanya tati masin z'kavzei k'dil kaman. Because the Gemara quotes two brises that say exactly like Shmuel. So Shmuel has such strong, such robust support for his shita of Tasa Agavar that it just cannot be ignored. It has to be that we paskin like Shmuel. And Beis Yosef points out that all the poskim agree that we paskin like Shmuel over here. This wasn't even subject to much debate. So there's nothing to talk about. Tasa Agavar, period. Now Beis Yosef quotes a Ran that Plugtai Rabu Shmuel b'shenatlu min ha'or el shadayin hu cham. He says, clearly we have to be talking about something that's not still on the fire. Meaning, if you have tzonin that falls onto cham, and the cham is on the fire, then even Rav is going to be moda that there's a transference of tam. Or if somehow you were to have cham l'toch tzonin where the cham is on the fire, I don't know how that's possible, but you know, you could imagine such a metzius, then it's going to be us no matter what. Then Shmuel would say it's aser as well. Beis Yosef quotes a machlokas whether tzonin l'tocham is aser bekulo or just a kedei netila, meaning when Shmuel says tasa agavar, does that mean that it asers everything? That as long as the bottom thing is hot, that's it, the whole thing is going to be aser? So the Rashba and the Taurus of Ice and the Rambam and the Ninth Baruch Machalos Asuros say that it makes the entire thing aser. That's how we paskin, right? So we assume that when you have tzonin l'tocham, the bottom item that's cham is going to be the dominant one, and therefore it assers the entire thing. It's going to asser everything.
Let's say there's like cold liquid.
Liquid will get to. Liquid
is just put on the fire, and then the
farm. Meaning you're going back on the previous run. Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Maybe that's such a metzius where you would say that the tasa agavar of cold is not going to help if the cold is on the fire, even though it's not yet yatzolenis. Yeah, pashtus, that's a good case.
What's the star for Rav?
Oh, okay, so now, let's ask that same question differently. The same question Gershon Duff just asked, but a little differently. Is this machlokas and metzias? Right? Meaning...
No. He rises.
So you're saying yes. So it's machlokas and metzias, and Shmuel's metzias is correct, and that's why we paskin like him. Right? Yeah. Same question, right? So I'm saying your question in a different way. Meaning, but really, the question, a machlokas and metzias, that's what this is, whether Ila, Gavar, Tzasagar, it seems that way. Heat rises, right? We know that to be true. Last time I mentioned heat rising, I got an email from someone explaining to me the exact physics of what I was talking about at that time and that I was wrong. So I'm assuming nothing. But I'm assuming someone's right and someone's wrong if it's a machlokas and metzias, and we never like to say that. Elu ve'elu, divrei Elokim chayim. So Primogodim in Mishpat Zav Ozayin is bothered that it seems to be machlokas and metzias and it could be easily verified. He says, "Mashiyesh lachkar bi ilav etasa chayichu chaliyuton velitame kvela." Get a non-Jew to taste it, and see what they taste. Kfeilar ma, ubame pligi, Rav and Shmuel, what do you have to need in machlok samarayim about this? Ukvarisi la crazy place yishamad b'zeh. And he says, and the Rebbe Rabbi Anderson is already omed on this. So what are the answers, right? It seems to be a machlok samatzius. So Prima Gadim suggests, uli didi yesh lomar, de mi lo mishkachas kezayis basar li yorah gedola shel chalav, va'afilu hachi ein bo tam chalav, Delav vaday sheyivla, v'rav u'shmo pligi mar sover al harov no saint tam, v'vada hechadika kfeila sagi al yidei kfeila afilu b'klirisha al hechadolaka kfeila asr misafik l'mar ilo l'mar tasa. Meaning, Prima Gadim says, you're right, Deir Chanami. You can get a kfeila, and that would solve the problem. The machlokas Rav and Shmuel is, if you don't have a kfeila, what sort of assumption can you make? It's going to be a metzias. Not necessarily. It could be that you have different foods that have different flavors, that have different constitutions to them, that are made up, you know, that are heavier or lighter or whatever. I don't know the physical attributes of food that might determine how hot is and how, you know, I don't know. There could be a million factors that determine whether the tam of the tachton is going to affect the elyon or the elyon is going to affect the tachton. And he says, hey, get a kfeila, and if you can get a kfeila, you'll solve the problem. But the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is what assumption you make, which is the rov. In rov of the cases, what are you going to assume? Well, that's pretty stunning. That's telling me that you're really rolling the dice whenever you're relying on tasa agavar, because it could really be that ozila agavar. Wow, that's the Prima Gadim. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, and he offers a couple of answers. Actually, before the Aruch HaShulchan, Nadbi Yehuda in Madura Kama Simin Chav Ches, Nadbi Yehuda writes that if it's min bemino, then the kfeila won't help. So you can't get a kfeila, so that's not going to help. Now one might say that you can experiment with min b'sheinum, you know, and see whether it's asa gavar or ila gavar. Meaning, if your case that you're dealing with right now is min b'mino, so it won't help to get a kfeila. Okay, but if the issue at hand is ila gavar or tasa gavar, try it with two kosher foods and see what happens. Try it with two, with vegetables and meat, and there's no problem if they mix together. And just see what happens. See what gives time into what. So Nadav Yehuda writes that you can't know that there will be consistency every time. And also, similar to the Prima Gadim, that it really depends on, it's really a rove issue. And your experimentation is not going to prove what it's always going to be. Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, is about what happens most of the time, and you can't know that through experimentation. So the views are very similar to the Prima Gadim, almost the same as the Prima Gadim. Now, comes along the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan offers two additional suggestions. Number one, he says, if you assume, and this is why we learn Tarovis before we learn Basim Chalav, if you assume like Shitas Rashi, that the Torah quotes in Siman Sadi Ches, that Ti'imas Kfeila only helps if you already have Shishim anyway. But if you don't have Shishim, then even if the Kfeila tells you it's fine, there's nothing in it, it's okay, it's not going to work. Right, we had a whole vort from Rav Soloveitchik why that's the case, but whatever it is, that if you don't have Shishim, you know, Shishim is a din in Super Rov, and if you don't have that Super Rov, then it's not going to work. So if you assume like Rashi, then you understand why a kfeila will not work here, because Rav and Shmuel are arguing when there isn't shishim. Now, the problem with that answer is that it doesn't work according to all the other Rishonim, the Ri and the Rush that the Torah quotes, that kfeila even helps when it's pachos mishishim. But at least that, right? At least l'fi shitas Rashi, I can now explain why it's not going to help to get a kfeila, to be able to determine. It doesn't really answer the question of, wait a second, isn't this a machlokas metzius? Right, but it at least helps that a kfeila is not going to help. Then the Aruch HaShulchan answers further, again about the kfeila issue. Shekol ne'amonos ha-kfeila hu dafka, this is in Siftes. Shekol ne'amonos ha-kfeila, in Aruch HaShulchan, Shekol ne'amonos ha-kfeila hu dafka, kishiyesh bevaday iser lefi kabbalas chachamim. Va'kfeila tovim, v'var lanu imnasin iser tam beheter. Kfeila is when you know that you have an iser, and you're not sure if the iser transmitted its flavor to the heter. Aval b'makum she'ein iser lefi hakabbalah, but when we have a misora that there's no iser here at all, eino ne'eman lomar she'yesh kan iser. A kfela is not neman to say that there is isra that we don't know about, or that we would deny from a halachic perspective. Vareza damel kli shlishi shalakol poskim meino maflu demavliyav him yava kfela v'yomer sheish b'zatam isra shalonash geach bo shaklal ubiyadenu sheina goy neman lo lahativ lo lasa. Says Yerach Shulchan, if a guy were to come and say, ooh, kli shlishi, but I could taste it still. I still taste the blios in the kli shlishi. I'd say, have a nice day. It doesn't matter that you still taste the blios. It's only when you have a suffix, so kfeilu will be mivare the suffix. But if you have a mesorah that this is the way blios work, I'm not interested in the kfeilu. So you're not going to go to a kfeilu because they're arguing on what the mesorah is. Is it ilah gavra or tasa gavra? Which helps answer the metzias question, because we're sort of saying, I don't care about the metzias, which is, again, a wild chiddush, because you would think all of your day is about the metzias. Right? It's about figuring out, is there tam, is it not tam, you know, tam kikr, this is everything. Nah, I don't care about the metzias, I care about what the halacha has to say. V'lachein kan, im l'mashal ha-tachton sonein, let's say the bottom one was sonein. Lo nashkiach klal ba amiras ha-kfeilu, miyamar sheish b'zeh tam iser, kibish kaimelash tasa gavar. I don't care that a kfeilu is telling me that there's tam of iser. Tasa gavar! So if the bottom one is stoning, that's it. End of story. Kasha is better than the answer, I think, on all of them. L'chora. But if you come across a better answer... Yeah. I always revert back to what Rav Simon Shlita told us in the name of Rav Willig, in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, in the name of the Rav, in the name of Rav Chaim. That's how he used to tell it every time. Is that the idea is whenever you have machlokes and metzius, you can always turn it into machlokes and halacha. That everyone agrees that there is some tam that transfers from one to the other. The question is that tam halachically significant? Okay, so good.
You know. It doesn't work here
because there's a reverse. Yeah, it doesn't work. I don't know. Yeah, it does seem like a machlokes and metzius. I don't know. That last answer, right? The last answer is saying, forget the metzius. We don't care about the metzius. But it seems so odd. How do you forget the metzius? Right, the machlok is a mesorah. I don't know. Rishonim have to stand on their heads to try to figure out why klisheni. Why don't they just say mesorah? We have a mesorah, klisheni and vasho. Right, you have to explain why. But it's the temperature is hotter, so how come it's not vasho? So you have tosos and mesorah. What do you need any of that for? It's difficult. And also, just on a metzius point, the Aruch HaShulchan raises another question. The Aruch HaShulchan is very important over here. It says Odi Yesh Lishol and Sif Yud Aleph, Eich Nasu Chazal Klal Bazeh. How could it be that there's a rule that always works? The Tasa Gavar. In case, let's say he says Nafal Harbei Chalav Roteach Al Maat Basar Tzonei. You have a little tiny bit of cold meat and tons of hot milk. Go on the cold meat. Really, that little tiny cold meat has now cooled off all that hot milk? That defies logic. Not only that, the meat's now hot. You pour a ton of freezing cold milk, chunks of ice in the milk, on a tiny thing of hot meat. You're going to tell me Tasa Gavar? V'yosra Acholam K'shein Shishim? Harein Ein Rol Shacholam Tzonin L'Gamri. You see that it's freezing cold. V'gam Abasar Nitzdanin. L'vir Os K'shish Dalar Ohei Pa'amim Ha'echad Negad Hasheni. If the ratio is 4 or 5 to 1, Behechrech Lifal Hasheni Shei Kamosa. It's the one with the larger volume is always going to win. V'im Nomer Shemem Z'yesh B'zeh is a shir. And if there is a shear, why were Chazal so silent on what that shear is?
Could it be that the shear is like alluded to in the Gemara? Meaning, in the case where you have a piece of cold meat and then you have boiling milk, is that really ilah? I mean, is the milk really ilah? Because the milk ends up.
Oh, so we'll get to that also. The Gemara assumes that yes, that it is ilah. The milk is going to sink below the meat or take a hot piece of meat into a liquid. Right? So what's going to happen? The meat's not going to float on the surface. It's going to go under. And then there's going to be milk on top of the meat. Right? So we'll talk about that also. But we're going to assume right now that af al pi kein, there's a clear ilah and a clear tasa, even though one of them is a liquid. And again, the way that they mingle with each other doesn't seem to bear that out. So the Aruch HaShulchan answers this question about the ratio. He says, v'yira eli borur, demari sheshavanein ba'akamas. It has to be that they're the same volume. Ul fi'erach ha'chalav kenu kamas ha'basar. L'chein nechu kazal ha'echu shal mi gover el yono ha'tachton v'vzgilchso da'tachton gover. You have to say that tasa governs when everything else is even. V'raya brura l'zeh midivra ha'taisa Shabbos. Daf membeis. That you could put something hot into cold on Shabbos, but not cold into hot, to Pirush Rashi, because Tasa Agavar. And Tosas over there asks in Shabbos, now wait a second, what about the Shita of Ilo Agavar? Whenever you say I'm putting something into something else, the bottom is always assumed to be the much larger than what you're putting into. Says that when there's a big discrepancy in volume, then it's not, the whole thing's not shaykh. V'adraba, he said, I ask, why didn't the Gemara say it? Midlo pirsha shemamina d'shabenhin. It's such a basic assumption that they're equal. The question is, there's yesh gvul b'davar, right? Yev shal tzamtze. There's got to be, you can't say that it's equal. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it should. I mean, what I'm leaving you with over here, I mean, starting you with over here, is that we have major mitzvahs issues over here. As the lumdus of the sugya is going to be very geschmack, but just the mitzvahs issues are very difficult to wrap your mind around, right? Both in terms of of is the whole machlokas and mitzvahs, and in terms of how could you ignore the ratio? But also, how can you make up your own ratio? And to say that they're shove bekamus, like the Aruch HaShulchan says, that defies all logic also. Because how could you... Mamish Efshal Tzamtzeim, it's got to be even, so there's got to be some number. Is it 2-1? Is it 3-1? Is it 4-1? How do I know? Very, very difficult. Yeah. And then Rabbi Akiva Eiger raises the third suffix, and then we'll move into the lambda stuff. Then we'll move into the stuff that we actually learned, right? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out another suffix raised by the Prima Gadim, Sif Se Da Simin Sadidal and Sif Katan Gimel. Da says the Prima Gadim, Shanin is tapakti kli matchos shuhucham ba'or mamish v'tochva l'tavshil tzonin ishayich tasa'a v'eno sarakadei klipa. He phrases it about a kli mateches, right? You have a metal kli, you have a spoon that was, a silver spoon, let's say. You ever discover the hard way that, like, the silver is real, right? That it conducts the heat so well that you stick your hand on the spoon that's in the soup, and it's, oh my gosh, right? It really conducts heat well. So you take a spoon that's mamish boiling hot, and you put it into cold. So do you say tasa gaver, and therefore there's only kadei klipa on the spoon? Or do you assume, come on, the spoon is a conductor of heat? And therefore it's like eish mamish. O shayni hu chamalidei eish mamish, ka gaver mechalik ha-shach, lini maflut mavliya bekula. Beinu chamalidei or, lini mayim chamalidei. What he's really going to say, because the spoon wasn't just heated by being in hot water. You mamish heated it on the fire. You took something and made it, heated it on the fire, does it become like a transference of that fire? In which case, you're not going to be able to say Tasa Gava just because the Tasa is Tony. Which is really a broader question. Meaning, I understand that we have measures of heat, we have Yad Soledas, right? But there's still got to be a difference between 120 degrees and 220 degrees in terms of, you know, ademeker lebala, you know, what's going to cool down what. So again, it's really a Metzius question. No, the Ran was somewhere where the food is still al gabe or. He's saying that, yeah, take Kivyegu is saying you have a spoon that was heated directly by a fire. And then you put it on your cold food. And he's just trying to think of the hottest thing he could think of, I think. Right? Taking a metal that was directly heated by fire, so maybe that's just a continuation of age. I don't know. Okay, so let's get into the lumdus a little bit. You know, if you have any thoughts on the Metzius, or if you come across any good discussions, I did not look at every sefer to see what they say about this. But let's talk a little bit about the lumdus. There is a machlokas between the Ra'ah and the Marshal, or the Ramah and the Marshal, rather. When you have two items, not one on top of the other, but you have two items that are side by side, so there's no ila'a and there's no tasa'a. But one is hot and one is cold. Meaning in Sif Aleph through Gimel, we were talking about two things that touch each other, but they're both cold. Now we're talking about one of them is hot, one of them is cold. So you normally say, ah, ilah gavar. I mean, tasah gavar. What do you do in the side by side? So the Ramah in Sim Kofei Sif Gimel says that if one item is hot and the other is cold, you require only a klipa. Meaning you treat it as if the hot one is the ilah, where you only require a kdei klipa. However, the Shach in Sifkat and Tes quotes a Marshal that if the Isser is hot, the entire Chatichas Heter becomes Aser. Meaning, you treat the hot one as if it is the Tasa'a. What are they arguing about? What's the Nekudas Samachlokas? So if Salvechik and Shirei Rav, Simon Samachalaf Oz Beis, explains that Yesh Lachkar Begeder Din Tasa'a Gavar. How are we to understand Tasa'a Gavar? Is it that you need both items to be warm in order to asher the whole thing? Meaning, in order for bleels to transfer, you need cham l'toch cham. So you need both things to be hot in order, because the Gemara started by saying cham l'toch cham, divrei kol is asher. So tasa'a gavar is a way of making it cham l'toch cham, because the heat rises and now it's cham and cham that are interacting with each other. So Tasa'a Gavar tells us that the bottom chaticha heats up the top chaticha, and now you have full blios. Or maybe no. Maybe you only need the Isser to be hot. And as long as the hot Isser is on the bottom, it's not going to be cooled by the heter tzone in Al-Gaba. You have hot Isser on the bottom, and you're going to put tzone on top of it. As long as the Isser doesn't cool down, it's going to be able to shoot its tam into the tzoneh. Even though the tzoneh doesn't get heated, it's going to be able to shoot its tam into the tzoneh. Nafkamina is if they're side by side. Right? That's what Salvage points out. That's this machlokas. Two items side by side, they neither heat each other up nor cool each other down. Meaning Tasa'a Gavar tells me that if the bottom thing is cold, it's cooling down the top thing. Okay, now there's not going to be any transference of tam because you... But if the bottom one is hot, then it heats up the top one. So now there will be transfers because they're both hot. Meaning what Ilah Gavar Tasa'a Gavar does for me is it tells me, that's why the Gemara introduced this. Cham l'toch cham divrei kol aser. Tzoneh l'toch tzoneh divrei kol muter. So when you have cham and tzoneh, Ilah Gavar or Tasa'a Gavar will tell me, do I view this as cham l'toch cham or do I view it as tzoneh l'toch tzoneh? But it never actually addresses what happens if they remain cham and tzoneh. And neither one impacts the other one. And that's the machlokas if they're side by side. If you only need the Isser to remain hot, then the Marshal would be correct, that the Chatichas Heter becomes Aser. But if you need them both to become hot, then the Ramah would be right. They only need Klipa.
Don't we say that even if the bottom one is hot and Heter?
Yeah, because it becomes Cham and Cham. Meaning that's what it does. If you say Tasa'a Gavar, you're saying that they're both hot now. That they both have a din of hot.
The bottom one is cold, so that then that becomes tzoneh l'toch tzoneh. Otherwise, the kdei klipa should be...
Oh, so kdei klipa is a different part, which we'll get to in a moment. Right? Meaning that's because it takes a while for that to happen. But okay, so say you need kidei klipa when they're side by side, right? Meaning that's good for the machlokas, right? The Rama says klipa. He doesn't say nothing. He says klipa.
Rami says that in order to understand the Rama, is it about the iser being hot? We're talking about two dvarim that are at the time totally mutter.
Right. So I guess meaning by basa b'chalav it's heter and heter. Yeah, but each, meaning they're both iser then, because each one can aser the other one. Meaning the iser being hot means in order to aser something else, in order to impact something else, it needs to be hot. Something cold can't have an impact on something else. So that we view both basar chalav, ironically, as both iser in that context, because each one has the capability of asering the other.
Would the bottom piece become aser, meaning the basar chalav?
If what?
If the bottom is meat and the top is cheese.
Yeah.
So the bottom and actually the top, does it reverse?
And what's hot?
The bottom.
Tasa gavar, yeah.
But does the bottom one also, is that also impacted by the top then?
Yeah.
I mean, why?
Because the top one's hot now also. Tasa gavar. Okay. It's cham l'tov cham. I mean, I think that's the lundus, that when you say tasa gavar, you're saying that if the bottom one is hot, they're both hot. Yeah, I think that's the way to look at it. Oh, okay, we'll get there too. Right, l'chora, you would have to, right? Meaning, how do you view this as basa b'chalav midaraisa? Unless you say that somehow this is derech bishul, slapping on a, but it's not on a fire, right? If it was on a fire, then you go back to that run, right? Then you don't have a discussion of vila atasa. Okay, we'll get back to that also. Bli neder. So that's the Rav's lumdus over here, which I think is like a very important nekuda that he's highlighting over here. I mean, what's the idea of Tasa Gavar? What is the Koach HaOser? Is the Koach HaOser only when, not only that the Oser is hot, but the Ne'esar is receptive al yidei its own heat? Or is the Koach HaOser just totally on the Oser? As long as the Oser is hot, I don't care if the Ne'esar is cold, that the Oser has the ability to Aser if it's hot. Now, where does Kedei Klipa come from? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a couple of brises. Cham l'toch tzonin madiach, kiven d'chamhu, ad'miyakali efshadlo balaforta. First the brisa says, if cham falls into tzonin, just rinse it off. So it says, wait a second, ad'miyakali efshadlo balaforta, klipa miyani bayi. It doesn't like instantly cool down, it's got to like take a minute, and in that minute, at least the klipa, kde klipa, must have been penetrated. You're right, says the Gemara. Cham l'tok tzonin kolif. Tzonin l'tok tzonin madiach. It's only if it's tzonin l'tok tzonin, then adach is good enough. Cham l'tok tzonin, you're going to need klipa. It takes some time for the bottom food to cool down, to cool the top hot food. In the meantime, the bottom cold food and the above hot food are balea, a kedei klipa. We will see some exceptions and qualifications to this. Meaning sometimes even if the falling meat is hot and the milk flows cold, it could be that the entire meat is still going to be aser. We'll get there, but not right now. Now the Taz in Sivkat and Vav quotes two reasons for this need for a klipa. Or he refers to one of them, but the two reasons that are mentioned by Rishon. The Gemara said ad mekalei bala, right? So Rashi says that means kodem sheyitstanein bala koldu. The temperature, it's about temperature. That the temperature change doesn't happen instantaneously. So in the time it takes for the temperature to change, there will be some sort of impact. The Isser V'Heter in Klal Chavtah says, Shemachbid Alav. Sounds a little different. It's not so much temperature, it's that it's gravity. It's that the weight of the hot item on top sort of presses down into the cold item, and that it almost makes it, you don't want to say these words, almost makes it like it's the tasa'a for the kedei klipa, because of the weight that's pressing down from one to the other. Now, Chavzda says the following ara. He says, wait, ademeker le'bala. So you tell me it's bala into the kedei klipa, and then it's cool. Then it cools down. And once it cools down, you're good, right? Well, let me ask you the following question, says Chavzda. Very important ara. I have a hot piece of cheese. I'm sorry, cold piece of cheese. Cold piece of cheese. I take a hot hamburger. I put it on the cold piece of cheese. Nu, what do you say right now? What happens? What? Tasa gaver, and therefore? Kedei klipa, kedei klipa. The bottom thing was a cold piece of cheese, hot hamburger on top, kedei klipa on each, the cheese and the hamburger. Good? Now it's time to make a lebala, right? I take another cold piece of cheese, throw it on top of the hamburger. Now what? Oh, it should be mutter, everything is cold! A demakerle, it cooled it down. Tasa gaver means that it cooled down whatever was on top of it. So it's got to be okay now because it's cold. So says Chavis, that's ridiculous. It's not possible. I mean, it really defies the metzius. It's a hot piece of meat and you're putting cheese on top of it. So you can tell me that it's cold? It's not cold. So, you know, he has many rayas that this has to be, you know, that you can't say this. So there's a whole discussion of a klisheni ever being able to be mevashel. How could it ever be mevashel? It cools down. So it's already cold. So he says it must be that tasoi gavar is an expression of how blios are exchanged. But it's not to be taken literally that it actually cools down. The above item. Meaning, like similar to what we said before from the Rav, that tasa gavar means that if the bottom thing is cold, then when hot falls on it, we view it as if it's tzonin b'tzonin, even though the reality is it's still tzonin b'cham. And now when cold falls on top, you know, the third piece of cold falls on top, so now I view it as if it's cham b'cham, even though in reality it's cham and tzonin. Because the whole discussion of Tasa Gavar is about how blios are transferred. It's not about a clear metzius. It's an important, you know, ha'ara.
Why can't you just say the maker is going on that local area of the burger? Just like there's a distinction between kakush and chamin, where there's certain things spread throughout or limited to a specific area. So yeah, talk at the bottom of the burger got a little colder, but the top didn't.
So why isn't the top being balaya anymore? No, but if it's meaning the assumption is, if you're going to learn the way we normally learn, that tasa gavar means that it overwhelms it, that the whatever's on the bottom overwhelms whatever's on top, right? So you're assuming as long as it's able to stay hot, it could still be impacted. Ademekele means it got impacted because it was still hot, but then as soon as it turned cold, impact was over. So in that moment of time, the klipa was affected. But if you say that it stays hot, which it does, then the impact should continue through the rest of it. Again, metzius in this sugya is like very, very hard. But this, I mean, Chavis Das is basically acknowledging that. He's saying, forget the metzius. It's a discussion of halachos of blios, of how blios get transferred. And this, by the way, also opens up the sugya that Rabbi Gersten spoke to us about, of repeated irui. I don't know how many guys were there or not there, but it's going to come up a lot in Basar V'Chalav. You know, we'll say not with the same Mar Makomos or Regerson now, let's say from this perspective. The Yisuv HaHeter in Klal Lamed Dalet Din Tazvav says that if you pour hot meat over a kli many times, a kli chalavi, many times, the entire kli becomes asur. I'm sorry. So, hot meat over a kli parav, many times you pour hot meat over it, it's not just the kedei klipa of the kli that's affected, the whole kli is asur b'chalav. Because when our Gemara says that the isur only penetrates a kedei klipa, that's if it's a one time event, but if it happens many times, then it's balea b'kula. That's what the Yisuv HaHeter says, meaning it's mamish exactly the sugi he was talking to us about, right, about repeated irud. The Bach in Simen Sadihei and the Taz in Simen Sadihei Sivkot Niv Beis, Paskin, the Yisuv HaHeter is correct. And in Tshuvas Tuftam Vadas Tlisa'a Simen Kuf Mem Vav, he says that we Paskin this way, that we should be Machmir for the Yisuv HaHeter unless it's Makom Hafsid Meruba. He even goes so far as to say, even if it's not repeated, it's just a lot at a time, that you pour a lot at once, then it penetrates more than a klipa. Because lo gara mikama iruyim. What difference does it make if you pour it, and then pour it, and then pour it, and then pour it, or just pour it all at once? But there's a machlok zechorim how to understand this. What does he mean by this? The primukadim and chavs da say that if the second pouring is within me'es la'es of the first pouring, then it penetrates more than a klipa. Meaning, as long as that first klipa is not yet tam pagum, then the next time you pour, it's going to go a klipa further. And the next time you pour, a klipa further, as long as it hasn't been pagum. Once it becomes pagum, then it doesn't go any further. Whereas the Tuftam Vidas says that no, it's only if the second pouring happened while the kli was still hot. I mean, once the kli cools down, then the next time it starts again. You have to penetrate, and it can't penetrate more than a klipa. So in Binyan Tzion, in Simin Yilches Os Aleph, he says this halacha lemaisa. This is Vahetar's Nogea lemaisa. Why? He talks about the following. What if you have. I mean, you realize what we're talking about over here. I mean, kadei klipa means that you're pouring hot water over something cold, right? So that's when it would be klipa. If you're pouring cold onto something hot, then the whole thing, tasag over, the whole thing is asur. But you're pouring hot onto something cold, so that should only affect the klipa of each item, right? But he's saying if you keep pouring hot onto the cold, it's going to go more than a klipa. So what does it mean, keep it up? So the Tuftam Das is what I thought was very mistaver. While it's still hot, you keep pouring more heat into it. So then it's going to go deeper. Primogadim and Chavis Das are a little more difficult. That as long as there's Tam L'Shvach in there, then it's going to go deep. But the Binyan Tzion it's a famous tshuva, I think. I think it's a famous tshuva, Binyan Tzion. There's a moment where he says that according to the Yisuf HaHeter, you know, there's a big discussion about making tea on Shabbos. How do you make tea on Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah says, prepare your tea essence. Rav Maisha Kli Shlishi, right? Says Rav Shachter and Rav Salvechik and Rav Salvechik's grandfathers, Kli Sheni. Okay. Why not Kli Rishon? Kli Rishon, of course, what kind of makes tea in a Kli Rishon? Right? You meet a girl, you go to her house, and they're making tea in a Kli Rishon. That breaks the Shidduch right there. Kli Rishon? So, it says Binyan Tzion have a great idea. Jews reuse tea bags all the time. We're like renowned for that. you'll dip the tea bag. I'm going to throw out a good tea bag. You know, you save it for next time. Once you used it once, so what happened? You put the tea bag, you have a tea bag in a cup. You do Iroy on the tea bag. Good, it's Mevashel. Ein Bishel Acha Bishel. So you could do Iroy and Shabbos on the same tea bag. So if you did it once before Shabbos, so you do Iroy the next time in the same tea bag. Problem solved. Meaning, if you dip it into a klisheni in a chinami, that's not going to help you. Because a klisheni is in a mevashel. But if you do iroi, so each time iroi is only mevashel kadei klipa. So the kadei klipa has already been cooked. Ein bishel achar bishel. That's a Binyan Tzion suggestion. So says the Binyan Tzion, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because if you say like this, then each iroi will penetrate further. So now, the first Iroi that you did Erev Shabbos was Kedei Klipa, but now you have another Kedei Klipa that you just penetrated with the second Iroi. That understanding of the Yisuf HaHeter is only if you're assuming that even after it cools down, the second Iroi will still penetrate further. But if you assume that it's not going to penetrate further once it's already cooled down, like the Tuftam V'Daz said, then the Chorot should work. Itaka doesn't, right? I mean, why doesn't it work? It's because of the Matzias of our tea bags that it doesn't work. Our tea bags are a bunch of teeny tiny crushed up leaves. So when you did Iroi, it could be that you didn't really, wherever the water hit directly as an Iroi, that's where the Kedei Klipa happened. But do you know that every little piece of a leaf had a direct hit of an Iroi? It's like inside, you don't even get to. And the leaves might move around a little bit, and next time you'll do an Iroi on other leaves. That's really why it doesn't work. But that's the idea that Binyan Tzion suggests. Binyan Tzion suggests it doesn't work because of this Ra'ah, that each Kedei Klipa is going to, each time you do another Iroi, it penetrates more than a Kedei Klipa. Fascinating Ha'ara that he has. Question?
Hi.
Okay. Yoni, you wanted to say something before? No? Okay. Now, let's talk about solids and liquids, okay? Because that's really, as much as all of this defies logic, solids and liquids really defies logic. A boiling hot piece of meat falls onto cold milk, right? Tasa gavar, you just need to peel a thin layer from the meat and a thin layer from the milk, from the cheese, let's say, or from the milk. So one might wonder, well, wait a second, shouldn't the milk be the ila'a at that point? Because the meat falls into the milk and some of the milk covers over the meat. So now there's milk on top of the meat. So the milk should be the ilah and the meat should be the tasa and tasa gavar and should all be aser. It should be the equivalent of hot meat on cold cheese and then that second piece of cold cheese on top of the meat. Right? Because if it's going in the milk and it's a liquid and there's milk all around it, so it should be... So the Prisha, I just saw this morning, the Prisha in Ozvav deals with this directly. V'af al pisha habasar shokeya l'tocha chalav einu mikra tzonin l'tocham. You don't call that tzonin l'tocham. Dekol shuhu bimekomo hu hagover. Wow. It's like a kol kavua kamech salma, you know? Like whatever is in its original location, that's what tasa gover means. Whatever is where it was, whatever hasn't been in transit. Who are gover or makara basar shenafel to chalav v'day lo beklipa? Can't explain why, but that's what he says. That lahalacha, you always view it as if the bottom, that which has been sitting there, is the tasa'a. That which falls in is the ila'a. If you come from below, right? You take a hot piece of meat and you smack it on the bottom side of a piece of cheese that's just been sitting there nicely and hasn't been doing anything. Would you still say that? That the cheese is the tasa? I mean, if it's based on physics, heat rising, it really shouldn't be about that.
One of the Rebbeim told me the reason the Rebbeim is so makel by microwaves is because the steam goes up to the microwave and thinks the microwave is the tasa because the microwave is kavua, whereas the steam is what's coming up to it and the microwave doesn't get hot.
Let me wrap my mind around that for a second. That the microwave doesn't become trafed up because the heat is on top and the microwave itself,
the microwave,
meaning the ceiling of the microwave, even though it's on top, is the tasa'a. Because it's always there. And what's traveling is the steam. So tasa'a gavar, and therefore it only asks k'dei klipa, it's still asks k'dei klipa. Right. Okay, well, the k'dei klipa might be chumrah, so we'll get to that. That's not so pashut either, that it's only a chumrah. Okay. Wow. Okay. So, yeah. We discussed microwaves already, right? I mean, there are better ways to... Okay. Other ways to deal with microwaves. Problem becomes... Okay, so you have meat that falls into hot meat falls into cold milk. So now peel your milk, right? So how do you do that? How do you peel your milk? So obviously it's impossible. So here you have Machlokas or Bein Tam in the Riva. Truth is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it really jumps off the page like in two straight lines, right? What does Shulchan Aruch say in Siv Dalin? Basar Chalav wrote Kinshin Asar V'yachad Afilu Basar Tzonin Tal Chalav Rotech O Chalav Tzonin Tal Basar Rotech Hakal Asu Mishum Tetasa Gavar. That's straightforward. Aval Chalav Rotech Shinafal Basar Tzonin O Basar Rotech Shinafal Tal Chalav Tzonin Kolev Abasar V'shara Basar Mutar. Also straightforward. Kitei Klipa. And then if you skip the Ramah for a second, the Mechaber says v'hachalav mutar kulo. Ooh, what happened? I had an event where there was a tasa gavar. The tasa was tzonein, the ilah was cham. So I should really need k'dei klipa on both of them, but I can't do klipa on milk. How do you do klipa on milk? Hachalav mutar kulo. So okay, if you can't, so the whole thing is mutter. So we need to explain that. Why would that be the case? If I can't do it, so it's treif. Or I need shishim. Can I get the klipa? Because the klipa is a problem. No, mutter kulo. And then you look back at what the Ramah said. The Ramah even went a step further. Same idea, but a step further. Ubimakum shabasar tzarech klipa. Even if you have a case where it's the basar that needs the klipa, and you could do klipa on a basar. If you didn't do the klipa and you just cooked it that way, the whole basar is mutter. The whole thing, even the klipa? That's what it sounds like. As soon as you mevashel it, the tam goes everywhere, and therefore don't even worry about the klipa, just leave the klipa be. So that's a pretty extreme statement. That's much more extreme than the Mechaber statement about the Chalav. Chalav is impossible to do klipa. I get it. The Basar, you could still do klipa. So what, I understand the rest of it I can't do klipa on, but the klipa I could do klipa on. Well, let me do klipa on that. But the pashtus of the Ramah, no, you don't need anything. You don't need shishim, you don't need klipa, you don't need anything once it gets absorbed. So what's this based on? This is based on Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivaz, quoted by the Beis Yosef. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you could drink the milk without removing any of it, meaning let's go talk about the case of the Mechaber. I will come back to the Ramah afterwards. Just first straight Mechaber. So hot meat falls into cold milk. So you need klipa. Don't worry, you can't do klipa on milk, so drink it and it's fine. You don't even need shishim. So the Shach in Sivkan Ches explains that there's no concept of klipa when it comes to a liquid because it gets mixed up right away. What does that mean? Well, it means that because practically you can't do it, or it means that even theoretically it shouldn't be required? Not clear. The Torah points out that the Rambam in Macholos Asuras Tes Yud Zayin only mentions doing klip on the meat, which clearly implies that there's nothing that needs to be done to the milk to make it kosher, because he doesn't address what to do to the milk. So again, what's going on over here? So Rav Soloveitchik has a chakira. Why is it that the milk doesn't eat anything according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? Is it on account of the idea that since it gets mixed up entirely, the tam doesn't transfer at all? Meaning the reason it answers kedei klipa is because there's that point of impact where it's in one place, it's sitting in one place at the point of impact, and therefore it's able to penetrate kedei klipa. But if there is no point of impact, because it's all, everything's moving all over the place, everything is moving pieces, so then there is no kedei klipa. The tam doesn't transfer at all. Not enough heat to generate a bliya. Or do we assume, no, it does generate, it does transfer to a klipa, but there's always shishim in the resulting tarovas. That's a big assumption, that there's always shishim in the resulting tarovas. Yeah, there's always going to be shishim because it's such a tiny klipa that, you know, that when it comes to liquid. The nature of liquid is such that the klipa is like a very, very thin klipa, which will always have shishim. Nafkamina, if it's chametz b'pesach, if there's no bliya, then even han chametz falling into cold non chametz liquid and was then removed, the liquid would be mutter. Obviously, you know, your wife, your mother, whatever, would never let you bring it in the kitchen, but it technically would be mutter. But if you're relying on bittel, chametz pesach zasim mashu, or the Ramaz case, a davar yavesh that becomes lach. If there's no bliya in a davar lach, then when at the time of the tarovis it was yavesh, there was a bliya, and liquefying it afterwards won't help. But if there was an assumed ratio for bittel, then even if you liquefied it later, the bittel has happened. Okay, we'll have to discuss that in further detail, because that one is harder. Again, so Rabbeinu Tam, which is one second, Rabbeinu Tam, you can drink the milk, that's what the Mechaber is passing, drink the milk, don't remove anything, it's fine, you don't even have to cheshben shishim. The Riva, there is klipa. And you need to have shishim in order to connect that klipa. How do you estimate whether you have shishim connected a klipa of milk? What is a klipa of milk? So what you have to do is you have to assume, take a klipa of the meat, because that's where they contacted each other. 60 times a klipa of the meat. Do you have milk? That's 60 times a klipa of the meat, because that's something that you can actually measure. There's no such thing as a klipa of milk. Right? So that's how you would do it. So that's Machlok Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, and Mechaber clearly passing on Rabbeinu Tam.
The first salad in Takira, where the Rambam is saying that because a salad has an actual klipa that it can go into, that's when it becomes less by milk,
there's just no klipa.
The whole point of why it's only kedei klipa in the Chaticha is because it has to penetrate all the way through. And because it's a salad, it cannot. And by milk, all of it's a point of impact. The entirety of the milk.
I mean,
only the second side actually makes sense.
Not necessarily. Meaning,
they have to come into contact with each other, no matter what.
There is contact, but the question is that contact intense enough to make a difference? So, if something is kavua, it's sitting in one place, so that contact might be an intense enough contact to make a difference.
That will only apply. I mean, the only way we can say that it's not going to be intense enough contact into the milk is when there's shishim for negative. Because if there's not shishim, then why would it not be?
No, because maybe the bleos don't transfer bichlal without that initial intensity. There's just no. There wasn't a strong enough point of contact to create a bliya, maybe.
Is it the lashon of Rabbi Nachman more mashma that there really is a transfer, but just because it's impossible? Because it says, "Bedavar sheyachol lasa klipa, but bedavar lo shaya klipa."
So that's the trick. What does that mean? Davar de lo shayach klipa. That's lo shayach that there would even be an isra of kedei klipa, or lo shayach that you could do anything
right,
about
so
it.
So in that sefer, if you go with the right, that the resha is, he clearly says,
biyapo.
So if you have 50-50 on
the shayach,
with
the... Okay. Yeah, I hear. So is it, the first half of the sentence is mashmor that way. I hear that. Yeah. Rabbeinu Tam is in Tosfos Pesachim Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, right? As is the Riva. He was bothered. He was bothered by Akasha, right? We have to get clear what drove the Rabbeinu Tam to say this, because it's a very big chiddush. You always need kedei klipa, but then all of a sudden, forget about it. Okay, you can't do it. Don't worry about it. So Rabbeinu Tam was bothered by Akasha. The Gemara brought two separate prices to teach that we pass like Shmuel that Tassah Agavah. The first brisa spoke generally about cham l'toch tzonein. Second brisa spoke specifically about basar cham l'toch chalav tzonein. Very clearly about basar b'chalav. So you suggest that from the first brisa, you would get the impression that if both items are solid, you need klipa. But the second brisa says basar shnafal l'toch chalav. And still says klipa is good enough. And it's yadua, you can't do a klipa on the chalav. So it must be that's what the second price is teaching me, that there's no requirement of klipa on the chalav. So the tzlach on Pesachim over there just points out that l'chara, the Rabbeinu Tam's kasha isn't strong enough to compel his answer. I mean, sometimes you have a chiddush that's pushed by a kasha, but there could be five other answers to your kasha, and then your whole chiddush is nafal babira, right? So the Tzlach says that it could be that you needed a second brisa, because if we only had the first brisa, we would assume that by basar b'chalav you don't even need a kedei klipa from even the basar. Why? You guys said it before. Derech bishul asra Torah. By basar b'chalav it's not only about blios, but derech bishul asra Torah, and there's no derech bishul over here. So the whole thing is only a derabbanan. So the second brisa teaches that even by basar b'chalav, you still have din of kedei klipa from the basar. That even on the din derabbanan, where it's not derech bishul, you're still going to need a kedei klipa. Says it's lach, so I gave a better answer than Rabbeinu Tam's answer, and now I don't need Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush. So it's lach himself, gives another answer based on the specific lashon on the second brisa. But that's, that's the ha'ara that tzlach has. It's pretty good.
The Rabbeinu Tam wouldn't agree there was actual bishul.
I'm not following.
Tzlach's answer is that you might think this is a general din by Yisur, but not by Basar B'chalav.
Right.
By Basar B'chalav, you don't have Bishul.
Right.
Meaning
you need to have Bishul by Basar B'chalav. And you don't have it here, so
right.
It's, the whole thing's only a derabbanan.
For Rabbi Tam, who holds that there's no yoni chishim connected to klipa.
Right.
For him, it's pasha that there's no.
Meaning, but that's the answer. Meaning.
No, but it might be that he holds that in general. Meaning that's not a specific din in Basar B'chalav. That could be a din in Shari Shirim also.
Yeah, but what compels him is to say what else is the chiddush of the second brisa. So you say that's the chiddush of the second brisa. What's compelling Rabbeinu Tam is he didn't know what the chiddush was.
But his chiddush is on the milk, not on the Isra itself.
Right.
Meaning, why is
the klipa
an aser? Is it? Or is it more similar to the hadafa aser? Just there's presence of aser.
Which is the same thing as saying basar b'chalav midrabanan.
Meaning, one could be bishul derabanan, and one could be just.
Okay.
Aser.
I'm saying, well, so.
Meaning, because the tzlach's whole answer from the Gemara is assuming bishul.
Oh, I mean, you're saying that there is not even a bishul midrabanan.
Yeah,
no, but pasuk midrabanan is even if there's no bishul midrabanan. Even if you just have meat and cheese that are cold, it's pasuk midrabanan.
Right, meaning whether that would then impact the rest of the chaticha on the matter, I mean, if there's bishul in that.
Who says the rest of the chaticha? It just says klipa.
Right, but then meaning that's the shishim point.
No, but then you need shishim. Can I get that klipa? Because that klipa is awesome.
Right, but if
then it's time saying you don't need shishim.
I mean, if the klipa has no bishul, it's just like that there's something that's something, then meich kesi that would impact the meich kesi the rest of the chatich will need to make up for that with shishim.
Because you're then going to mix it all together or cook it all together. So now the bleos move freely. I mean, you'll grate it. Or, you know, grind it or something, or you'll cook it all together.
But isn't the meaning only assuming the bishul is happening now, or not bishul happening now?
No, not necessarily, right? Meaning that we'll get to that soon, right? That if you're gonna, because obviously having shishim on connect, right? Meaning if I'm only eating from the other end, so what do I care if I have shishim in a chinam? Right? But we're talking about milk over here, where it all gets mixed together. It has to be that it's all mixing together, or that it's all that it's, or like the Ramaz case where you're subsequently cooking it. Okay. No, but not for now. Okay, let's stop here. Let's get to tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Psak Halacha, and that Ramah. If you forgot to take the klipa, and then you know that won't be a very long. I mean, that's the most complicated conversation. It's a very important mug in our problem that all the posts can quote over here in our Chaim. And there's a beautiful Rabbi Kiva Eger that talks about that Magen Avraham, and then has his own Mahalich. And then after we do that, Be'ez Hashem will move on to Malicha and Sifrei. Okay. Have a great day, everybody.